A religious sect, polygamy, and allegations of child sexual abuse in a small Texas town. Earlier this month, Texas police and child welfare officials raided a compound run by the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Texas law enforcement officials, along with state child welfare officials, took 437 children of the polygamous sect into custody. Authorities say the group encourages the sexual abuse of underage girls, but this is hardly the only case where questions of child welfare and separating families come into play. Today, Judge Lynn Toler gives us her take on what it means to be behind the bench and deal with these issues. She's a former municipal court judge who now presides over TV's divorce court. She is also a regular News and Notes contributor. Hello, Judge Toler.
How are you?
I am doing great. So, you know, this case has gotten a lot of heat, and there's new questions about who actually phoned in the allegations. But nonetheless, it's proceeding through the court system. And so far, the judge in the case has ordered that the children stay in state custody. The issue is whether they should be returned to an environment where underage girls are sometimes married to older men. Now, when you think about the very basics of this case, what stands out to you in terms of what a court or what legal officers will be looking for in terms of evidence?
Well, what they'll be looking for is a pattern of conduct and how much that the isolation that these young girls and their women in are doing to them as far as their rights and their ability. You have to. It doesn't matter. Everyone is talking about whether or not the telephone call was actually made by somebody in the compound. That doesn't matter. If that happened, no matter whether it was an appropriate phone call or a fake phone call, once an officer of the court or someone sees, an official sees what they think is sexual abuse or child abuse, they must act. Now that they're in, you have to determine what you're going to do. You've got a tremendous problem here. You are separating children not only from the potential abusers, but you're also separating them from their mothers as well, in that they may be complicit in the abuse. So at this point in time, you have to figure out what is actually happening, which will be difficult because all involved will not tell you what is going on. You have to figure out what are the fundamental rights under the First Amendment that a group has to conduct their own religious, have their own religious principles, but that religious, that right under the First Amendment, though fundamental, is not absolute. Because what you do in a religion cannot impinge on another person's ability to live, and it cannot sanction abuse. So it's a difficult question and a tragedy for the children, no matter how this thing goes.
One thing that's happening in this case that I have not seen happen many times is mass DNA testing to try to figure out exactly who has fathered the children of some of these girls and younger women. Is that a strategy that's being employed more widely these days?
I don't think so. You have a unique set of circumstances in this case. You have an isolated sect where polygamy is the rule of the day, and the children are taught that their father and all of his sister wives, they call them all mother. So they don't really, technically, all of them may not know who their biological mother is, and they didn't look at it that way. So typically, outside or beyond a polygamous sect like this, you know who the mother is. You don't always know who the father is, and DNA testing is done often for a determination of paternity with respect to visitation rights and child support. But this is kind of a unique situation because you're having difficulty identifying who is whose mother, and the child may not know.
Judge Toler, let's broaden this out to how these issues can affect many communities. There are, I remember having a conversation at my hairdresser where one person was talking about the color purple when it became a movie and saying, you know, oh, well, that doesn't happen in black families, and how that started a whole debate over sexual abuse. And, you know, pretty much all communities have a hard time talking about it. But as judges look at these cases, not just with this one polygamous sect in Texas, but in every community, rich, poor, black, white, rural, urban, you'll see cases of child sexual abuse or allegations of child sexual abuse. You know, how much can the legal system do? And how would you rate the legal system these days on dealing with these cases where children and mothers and various people involved may not want to testify?
Well, I always say overall, with respect to the judicial system, we are just keeping a lid on the chaos, and looking at to us as an answer to anything is usually futile. It is, you know, the sexual abuse is prevalent and it is underreported. And I didn't really get to see the depth of it until I was off the bench and dealing with a group of troubled girls, and to see how many, the statistics usually say 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 young girls is sexually abused. That's an estimate, of course, because nobody reports it, but it is very much underreported. And I actually saw those numbers in the 25 girls that I was talking to, not only a case of single abuse upon one, but multiple times by different men because of the nature of their household. So the judicial system gets in it very, very late and not often enough. And what we need to do is step back from that judicial response or a judicial answer and have more conversations earlier on within the household, communities understanding that, mothers understanding what's going on, having more stability in the home, new boyfriend. That was a big issue with those girls, the new guy in the house. And the sexual abuse is usually by family or friends, and an awareness of that and taking it seriously and that thought, oh, that doesn't happen here, has got to be eliminated.
Judge Toler, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We were joined by Judge Lynn Toler. In addition to hosting TV's Divorce Court, she's also a regular news and notes contributor, and she joined us from the studios of KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona.